Good morning, everyone. For those of you who are visiting, I extend a warm welcome. And those of you who are a regular attender, I am pleased to see you here. Barabbas. I've always been fascinated by Barabbas ever since I started to go to Bible study. Didn't quite understand what he was about or who he was. So I called up my brother in Christ, Pastor Lynn Dow, and he helped me kind of prepare this and make it clear to me. So I'm going to try to do it for you. The name Barabbas in Hebrew means son of the father. And as Miranda said today in her scripture reading, his real name was Jesus Barabbas. And I'm thinking, how can that be? You have Jesus Barabbas on one side and you have Jesus the Christ on the other side. It can't be possible. But I come to find out back in those days, Jesus was a fairly common name. So he was named Jesus Barabbas. And through the years, the scribes who recorded the history probably omitted Jesus Barabbas, and they just started to name him Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a Jew, and he most likely came from a predominant family. He had some money behind him, and they had a little bit of power. And as we know, he was arrested, convicted of insurrection, which means he was a rebel. He was leading a band of thieves and thugs against the Roman Empire. The Jews hated the Roman Empire. They didn't like anything about it. And the Romans were very, very mean people. They oppressed the Jews in every way that they could. And they made the Jews pay taxes, which they did not like at all. So Barabbas was this leader of this group of thugs that was trying to overcome the Roman Empire, overthrow it. He was arrested and he was tried and he was awaiting for crucifixion. Now, crucifixion was a capital offense, which means you had to do something pretty serious to be crucified. And it was most likely treason, murder, or people who rebelled against the Roman government. And he fit that criteria. So he was in jail when all this took place. Now, only the Romans were allowed to crucify. They were in charge of the government. And they loved to crucify their disobedient slaves. So the Romans were the only people who had the power to kill at that time. And that is why the Jews turned over Jesus to the Romans. It is believed that the two thieves on the cross was part of Barabbas' gang. Because the Bible lists them as thieves. But thieves during that time were not... They weren't bad enough to be crucified. It wasn't a capital offense to be a thief. So it is believed that the two thieves that hung beside Jesus were part of Barabbas' gang, and that Barabbas should have been the third person on the cross. Some of the Jews thought Barabbas was the Messiah. They were looking for a warrior king to overthrow the Roman government. They were not looking for a Jewish carpenter to do it. Barabbas is mentioned in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have a short video here now to watch. I want you to pay special attention to how Barabbas acts as he comes out. Many of you seen this. This is from the Passion of the Christ.
Liberateu!
Ma voi n-a avut în Yeshua în țară.
As Brett explained, Pontius Pilate was the governor at this time, and during the Passover, he was allowed to give one prisoner up. He asked the crowd who they wanted to be released, and they said Barabbas. The chief priests and the elders at the time, they did not like Jesus. They were jealous of Jesus. They were afraid of Jesus because Jesus was making and doing miracles, and they did not understand that. And they thought that they were probably going to lose their jobs. So they were out in the crowd, working the crowd, telling the crowd that Jesus had to be crucified. I truly believe that the devil was there that day, working the crowd also. Because the devil knows that if Jesus would be crucified, the prophecy would be fulfilled, and the devil would have a lot more work getting souls to take back to hell. The devil always gives us something good to distract us. If the devil's going to distract me, he doesn't put a steaming hot plate of lutefisk in front of me, no matter how much butter or white sauce he puts on it. But if he puts a theater-sized box of Milk Duds in front of me, then he gets my attention. The devil thought that he had a shoe-in with Barabbas because he was already convicted and was set to be crucified. But what the devil didn't plan for is that God showed up too. I believe that God hardened the hearts of the chief priests and the elders. We read through the Bible that God will do anything in his power to get his will. We've read in Samuel many times where God let an evil spirit come into someone's heart. So the crowd was turned against Jesus and they wanted Barabbas. So they let Barabbas go. In verse 20, the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and have Barabbas or Jesus executed. Now we know that Pilate wanted nothing to do with it, but he was the governor at the time and he's the one that had to make the decision. And his wife came to him, Pilate's wife, and said, Jesus is an innocent man. But as Brett pointed out, Pilate went with the crowd and Jesus was crucified. So who is this man we call Barabbas? I am that man called Barabbas. I deserve death. I desire freedom, but I discovered grace. Barabbas and I look at each other in the mirror every day. As was quoted on the screen up here, Romans 3, 23 and 4. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by the grace through the redemption that came through Jesus Christ. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay, cost you more than you want to pay, takes you farther than you want to go. I am Barabbas. There's not a day goes by that I don't break a commandment. My parents are here today. I'm sure they can vouch for that. We can't earn our way to heaven, but he holds nothing against us. We are as white as wool. And when I first read that, I think of when we bring the ewes in to have their babies in the barn. They're stuck in the barn for several months, and they get kind of dingy. When they're weaned, and after a short time, we turn them out on pasture. They don't have a roof over their head. The rain cleans them up. When we bring them in the fall, they are as white as snow. And I always think of that verse, white as wool. So Jesus Christ opened the cell door and said, I am free. I'll take all the sin that you committed and make it right. I am no longer a sinner, although I sin. God looks at me through the blood of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. I am Barabbas. And I think if you look at yourself in the mirror, you will say, you are Barabbas also. You want to run that video?
We see the story of Jesus going to the cross, and everything seems to kind of be hand in hand. And then there's this one character that seems to interrupt the narrative. His name's Barabbas. We don't even know much about him except that he's a murderer, a leader of an insurrection, a rebel. And why he's even mentioned, sometimes I'm not so sure. It's like, what? This is about Jesus going to the cross. So in this moment, Pilate thinks, I hold the destinies of these two men in my hand. I know the Jews have a tradition that on a holy day, I will release one of the prisoners on death row. Pilate stands on this audacious stage, who now presents Jesus, Son of the Living God, versus Barabbas, the thug and rebel. He says, all right, who do you want? This is blasphemy. This has gone too far. There's no comparison. This is a rightful prisoner, a man who should be on death row. He's a rebel against Rome. He leads a rebellion. He murders people. He's a bad man. He's a thug and he's a crook. He deserves the chains and he deserves the crucifixion. Jesus, what has he done but heal, restore, deliver, set free, open blind eyes, open deaf ears, heal the lame and the leper? What has Jesus done? Who do you want? We want Barabbas. Yeah. Give us Barabbas. People say, give us Barabbas. The Roman soldiers come up and they put the key in and they unlock Barabbas from his chains and shackles. And he walks down the platform, welcomed by all of his thug friends. Yeah, the people love me. Yeah, that's right. I don't even know who this Jesus guy is, but all I know is my people love me. There seems to be no conscience in Barabbas. There's no record of him turning to Jesus and saying, I owe you everything now, for you have set me free. No,
don't see any of that in Barabbas. And God knew that. Jesus stood there, silent, for he knew the will of the Father. He said, it's fine, Father. Let him have Barabbas. For Jesus knew that the Father would have to treat Jesus like Barabbas so he could treat Barabbas like Jesus. Barabbas thought it was the people that set him free. No, 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 no. It was the love of the Heavenly Father. When I look at the story, I realize who Barabbas really is. That's me. That's you. That's us. And I felt, I was reading this the other day, and I felt God speak to me. I love Barabbas. I love him. But God, he's a bad man. I love him. And I wanted him to go free. But didn't you know that he probably would have never acknowledged the free gift? Yeah, but I love Barabbas. For while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God sent his son for Barabbas, even the one he knew would walk away from Jesus and his free gift and never come back. He loves him. And the nerve, the gall, and the audacity of believers to think, I got saved by grace, but now that I'm in this deep, dark place of bondage, I better work hard to get myself out. What? That's the opposite of the gospel. Are you bound? Are you held under the power of this temptation, this sin? Do you feel like it's controlling you? What are you going to do? I'm going to shake myself free. Stop it! No, you won't! You're no match for the powers of hell. Urges of sin. You will not overcome it, and you will never overcome it. You'll just be another statistic. There's no answer within yourself. Your own marriage, your own goodness, your own discipline, your own devotion will not save your marriage and will not save your kids. There's only one, and he's the one that took your place. He's the one that stood silently on the platform with Pilate and said, yes, let him have Barabbas. Take me. How many times have I stood on that platform with Pilate and Jesus, and I'm the Barabbas, and they start to take my chains off, and I say, no, no, I deserve this. I deserve the guilt. I deserve the shame. I deserve the consequence. I deserve it. Jesus seems to look at me and say, no, son, let me have it. Let me have your sin. Let me have your pain. No, God, I did it to myself. I deserve it. My marriage won't make it. This is what I deserve. I deserve divorce. I deserve poverty. I deserve sickness. I deserve it all. No! God, I'm so ashamed. Give me your shame. What if I do it again? I'll still be here. Oh, God, I don't want to hurt you. I love you. I don't want to do this anymore. Give me your sin, son. This is all we got. It's all I got. It's all you got. We can play games. We can play church games. We can pretend like some people are better than others and that's why they're blessed, or we can all come to the honest conclusion that it's God. And it's God alone. The greatest challenge is not your discipline, your devotion, your focus. Your greatest challenge is believing the gospel. Could it be that there's a God with a love so scandalous, so wide, so deep, so vast, so high, so expansive, so welcoming, so inclusive. Let me have your sin, son. Okay. When I give him my sin, I stand in this empty space of forgiveness and acceptance. Why Jesus walks off to the cross that I deserve. I see him walking to the post to be whipped. As I stand a free man, all the attention is turned now. And I feel the love of God saying, go, son, live your life. I'll pay the price. Where did we get off thinking that we were going to set ourselves free? It's still Jesus. It'll always be Jesus. It'll never stop being the power of Jesus. If His blood is sufficient for your salvation, His blood is sufficient to sustain you through every challenge and every sin and every temptation. Jesus is enough.